just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic, common sense, compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It's Friday. We've had a pretty busy week, a lot of shit going on, and we've got some things to talk about today. One of the things I wanted to bring up before we get to the emails, I was thinking about the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Now, I remember the old days when you had a Speaker of the House who was a strong political force, third in line to the presidency. They knew what the fuck they were doing. They only put things up for a vote when they knew they would win. And it was kind of nice to have a strong presence as Speaker of the House. Well, that all changed when Kevin McCarthy came in. Then he got his ass kicked out and Mike Johnson took over. Mike Johnson's put a few things up for a vote and they haven't passed, much to his surprise. Now, he shouldn't have been surprised if he knew what the fuck he was doing or if he had any control over his caucus, the Republicans, but clearly he doesn't. Recently, he put up a rule for FISA. FISA is about foreign intelligence. And this one gets to be pretty important because that rule will cease to exist on April 19th, so they need to re-update it. People from FBI and other intelligence agencies says this is absolutely crucial. We need to pass it or it could be dangerous for the country. Now, the Republicans, you would expect them to pass this. It's a little draconian, and you would think they'd pass it. But at the last minute, Donald Trump said, kill FISA. Now, it's interesting. Why would he do that? Because he okayed it the last time it came up, but now he says no. Is he trying to embarrass Joe Biden? No, he's not trying to do that. What he's doing is he's putting pressure on Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. He's trying to embarrass Mike Johnson, and he succeeded in doing that. Now, here's what's interesting. Mike Johnson, not a very strong guy, kind of a weak Speaker of the House, probably as weak or weaker than Kevin McCarthy, and Kevin McCarthy was a weak-ass bitch. Mike Johnson is kind of under the gun here. He's going to have to put up a bill to give funding to Ukraine. He doesn't really have a lot of choice. He's going to be forced into that situation. And he's going to try to run this FISA bill through again. And in each of those cases, if he does it, especially if it passes with the help of Democrats, those MAGA fucks are going to get pissed off. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to try to do to him what they did to Kevin McCarthy. Give him a vote of no confidence, vote him out, kick his ass out, and then see who they can get to replace him. The only problem with that is they don't have anybody to replace him, and there's not that much time in this particular session. It would really be a bad time to do it for the Republicans. But that doesn't seem to matter. The Republicans don't care about what's effective or what's efficient or what's productive. They only want to create chaos and create a mess for this country. And it's sad to see that. It's even sadder to know that there are some people that support that kind of behavior. I don't know how that's possible. So anyway, Mike Johnson is in a tough situation. He might get a vote of no confidence and get his ass kicked out of there. Now, remember the old days when speakers of the House were strong politicians, had control of their caucus? I mean, go back to the 80s, you had Tip O'Neill. Just a short time ago, we had Nancy Pelosi. They would never put anything up for a vote unless they were sure they were going to win. Mike Johnson doesn't do that. He keeps putting bills up and he keeps losing. And why? Because, well, he's got a divided caucus, a divided party. And there's not much you can do with that. So Mike has to come up with something he can do to save his soul here and not get kicked out of the speaker's job. So what do you think he's going to do? Keep in mind, when Donald Trump said kill FISA. He did that primarily to embarrass or put Mike Johnson in a bad light, and he did. So what Mike Johnson is doing today, he's getting on a little plane, putting on his Sunday best suit. He's going down to Mar-a-Lago to give some talk and obviously kiss the dirty diapered ass of Donald Trump. The one guy trying to ramrod you, and you're going to go down there and kiss his ass, much like Kevin McCarthy did. Had Kevin McCarthy not done that after Donald Trump had been voted out, we may not be dealing with Donald Trump now, but thanks to Kevin McCarthy, he's still in the thick of things. And now Mike Johnson is going to make that same mistake. It's very clear that Donald Trump still runs the Republicans in Congress. He makes the decisions, even though he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. It's going to be interesting to see what Mike Johnson does when he gets down there, but it's no doubt a mistake. You're jumping on a train that's going off a cliff. Donald Trump isn't long for this world in terms of politics. You probably don't want to jump on that train, but again, Mike Johnson isn't a strong politician. He's a weak-ass bitch, a pussy-ass bitch. That's who he is. And he's taking the wimp's way out. We'll see how that pans out. All right, we do have some emails, so let's get to it. Now, this first one comes from Alona. You might remember Alona. Very nice, very intelligent woman that was on the show a while back. I was on her podcast as well, had a great time, but it's always good to hear from Alona, and hopefully she'll come back on the show at some point soon. She starts out by saying, boom, your TikTok posts are really on fire lately. Not that you weren't great before, but now you're in a groove and super confident in everything you say. There's been a definite shift, and you seem charged up, loving life, and enjoying yourself wholeheartedly, and I'm here for it. Well, thank you very much, Alona. I don't know that I'm more confident now than I've ever been. I've always been confident. I think confidence is the key to success in life. You're sure of yourself. You go ahead and do it, and let the chips fall where they may. That's always something I've done. Maybe I'm a little more energized than normal. My mindset isn't really any different, but sometimes I'm a little more up and a little more animated than I am other times. I don't even notice it when I'm doing it, but when I play back the video, I go, God damn, you're a tired motherfucker. But I'm too lazy to do it over again, and I just put it out. Well, thank you for that, Alona. Anyway, she goes on and says, not only that, but you're getting even funnier. Not cuckoo funny, but ha-ha funny. Of course, anyone can be funny by simply repeating the batshit craziness coming out of the House Republicans, the mystery words out of Diaper Donnie's mouth, and the bottoming out of Truth Social's worthless stock. But I've been listening and laughing because you've had some really good lines lately. Thank you. I resonated with your commentary yesterday about not believing the polls and looking at where the money is going. I think that's a good credo to live by. Follow the money, and the money will get you to the winning horse. You're making perfect sense that we can't trust polls. They have been wrong before, and we don't know who they're even polling. Polls are nonsense. The media likes to scare people and frighten people watching the Fox News or Faux News channel. Hopefully, optimistic people won't get caught in that trap. I listened to Democratic activist Olivia Juliana, excuse me, on TikTok, who says that by 2031, Texas, Georgia, and North Carolina will be blue. I don't disagree with you, but the way things are going, that's conceivable. Now, the Republicans know the demographics are changing, and that's why they fight dirty with voter suppression, redistricting, gerrymandering. I'm so happy to hear Olivia's discussion of how past, present, and future demographic trends are indicators that change is coming soon. I've been saying that. You know, by 2028, the vast majority of the voters will be millennials and Gen Zs. That's going to change everything, and it's not positive for the Republicans. We just have to be patient and endure all the negative stuff that's going to happen in the next 6.5 months. Once Biden is elected, there'll be work to do, but DDD and the MAGAs will begin to lose power and fade away. I agree wholeheartedly. Thanks for all the great work you do for us. I can't wait to come back on the show and talk some more. It was so much fun. Happy early birthday, Alona. Thank you, Alona. Yeah, my birthday's on Tuesday, April 16th. Born 1960. I'll be 64 years old. Now, she sent a P.S. She said, I sent something to your P.O. box for your birthday. It's not really a present for you, but for your granddaughter, and it may elevate your status with her if she approves of it. I'm sure she'll approve of it, and it'll be very timely, too, Alona, because, you see, my birthday is on April 16th. My little granddaughter, Junie, her birthday is on April 26th. So we share a birthday month. I have a feeling we're going to be focusing more on hers. We've got a party for her on the 28th here in our party room and with a pool and stuff. So we're excited about that. But I'll make sure she gets the gift, and I'll let her know who got it to her. We did this once before. Old Soul sent her some things for Christmas, and we did a little video, and she said, thank you, Old Soul, and all that stuff. But Alona, thank you for acknowledging that, and thank you for sending something to my granddaughter. That is much appreciated. All right, the next one says, hi, Mike. I recently sent you an email on the podcast page, which had limited space, so I'm happy to get this email address. By all means, some people put stuff on the podcast page, and I'm happy to see those. I love seeing those, and I can read those too. But if you want an extended email or just need more space, all you have to do is send the emails to rationalboomer@gmail.com. She goes on to say, I faithfully listen to your podcast every day. I look forward to that. I also look forward to all your TikToks. I am born and raised in Washington State. So, of course, Western Washington is deeply blue where I live, and Eastern Washington is deeply red. Of course, the metropolitan areas of states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Washington, Michigan take over the majority, thank God, Democrat. Needless to say, urban areas have learned to work together, live together, and lean towards science instead of superstition and fear of the other. It's unfortunate that the media is perpetuating all these things that put fear in the hearts of people who are not informed. Trump's greatest weapon is fear and misinformation. Every election cycle, we go through this misinformation bullshit, and we all need is a fucking lying piece of shit like Donald Trump to put a cherry on the cake of idiocy. I'm sick of misinformation, half-truths, and non-information of policies that truly are important. Brave and smart people such as yourself are critical to getting the truth out there and what's really going on. Thank you. Keep up the good work. I look forward to every day of the trial of Donald Trump. He better not have any other nonsense motions to try to hold up the process, like firing all his lawyers at the last minute. Rhonda. Yeah, people have talked about that, him firing all his lawyers. I don't know that he can get away with that. That will be clearly a delay tactic, and I don't think the judge is going to fall for that bullshit. But, you know, this is why I love reading the emails, because they're all so complimentary to me. It's wonderful for my ego. Thank you very much, Rhonda. All right, the next one. Hi, Mike. I have an important message for all Republicans out there. Apparently, Forbes has excluded Donald J. Trump from the 500 richest people on Earth list. True Republicans should not rely on any credible economic sources or verified proven facts to make up their minds. It's fake news. It's a hoax. It's a witch hunt. The true value of his social media is, of course, more than trillions. To this day, Donald Trump is the richest person on the planet. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and those up in the list are just subsidiaries of his vast genius empire, which he owns and controls totally freely. Panzer. I don't know, Panzer. Do I sense a little sarcasm? Yeah, that's definitely sarcastic. And yeah, I appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. Thank you, Panzer. Next one comes from Scott. Jim Jordan says he got dirt from Fannie Willis's ex-staffer. God bless the whistleblower. This jack-off Jordan needs to get destroyed. Well, I think he's going to get destroyed. And with any luck, a former guest of ours, Tammy Wilson, previous guest, she'll come back on, is going up against him in the election in November, and hopefully gets his ass kicked out that way. And then Jack Smith comes in and sends him an indictment and lets him twist in the wind. Let's hope for that. All right, this one from Ken. Supreme Court, why doesn't Joe nominate 5 judges tomorrow? How would it hurt him, Ken? Well, I don't know if it would hurt him, but he just can't do that. The Supreme Court officially has 9 justices. If he wanted to appoint 5 more, he'd have to go through some process in Congress. And that's why it's important that we have the majority in the House and the Senate, so we can hopefully stack the Supreme Court. He can't just do it. There's just no way to do it. Constitutionally, he can't do it. It has to go through the process. And we will go through the process, but it's going to take us all doing the work we need to do. And that means voting out Trumplafucks en masse. All right, the next one comes from Mary. Thank you, Ken. The next one comes from Mary. Hi, Mike. I listen to you all the time. You say that Trump will not be the next president. I do hope that is true because it scares me what he will do to this country. Mary. Yeah, I say that all the time, and I'm not saying it hoping against hope, and I'm not a psychic. I'm not some paranormal fuck. All you have to do is look at the facts, and there is no way for Donald Trump to win. I always love that. I'll say something, and people will say, I hope you're right. And I always think to myself, I'm kind of arrogant sometimes, and I think to myself, well, of course I'm fucking right. Just relax. But I know people need proof, and they need to see it happen before they're going to buy into it. But Mary, don't be so worried. Donald Trump doesn't have a prayer. Like I've said before, I'll be surprised if he even makes it as the nominee with all the shit coming down on him. All right, the next one comes from Tanya from Cleveland. Mike, as the Republican nominee for president, is Trump actually being given access to high-level security documents in preparation for his possible election? I don't know about now what he's getting, but I know when he left the White House, Joe Biden said, yeah, we're not going to do that this time, because usually former presidents do get read in on some things, not the highest level things, but some things. And even though he was entitled to that, Joe Biden said, yeah, nah, we're not going to do that. I'm sure they're going to be very careful about what they give him, if they give him anything. I mean, this guy's been accused of stealing classified documents and disseminating them to adversarial countries. So it would be stupid to give it to him, but this is the government, so who the fuck knows? She goes on to say, if this is the case, how is everyone's hair not on fire? The man has shared confidential information with Russians in the Oval Office, stolen top secret documents when he left the White House, and shown them to God knows who, along with storing them in a highly accessible area of a golf club, and refused to give them back. Given the financial straits he's in, he could be bought by anyone. What the fuck? Tanya from Cleveland, Ohio. Couldn't agree with you more. I'd heard that the prospect of him getting read in on some of these classified bits of information. I don't know where it went to after that, but I tell you what, I will look into it because it's certainly something of importance. You're absolutely right. He has a history of not dealing with classified documents well. He's heavily in debt. He's desperate for money, and God knows what he would do. You're right on track with what you're thinking, and that's something I hope our U.S. government, our CIA, our FBI, or whoever, I hope they're in tune to that and they're protecting us from that. But I don't honestly know, to be honest with you. All right, the next one says, hi, Mike. I turned on Morning Joe recently. One segment they had on this week was a group of undecided voters and how they felt about Biden and Trump. It's always mysterious to me how anyone could be undecided. I know it's still early on, but we know who these two men are. How in the world can you be undecided? In my opinion, I think they're full of shit. A lot of these people don't even understand the issues or can state an issue directly. They were saying the economy was better under Trump. Are they kidding? Are they just thinking about the COVID stimulus checks they got because of the Democrats? Because how Trump mishandled the COVID response and refused to wear a mask and had COVID spreading rallies, the economy was worse. In my opinion, if you're undecided and on the fence, don't even bother voting. That's the problem. People are too lazy to pay attention. The main reason that people stated to the U.S. Census Bureau why they didn't vote in the 2020 election was lack of interest. I don't know what it's going to take to wake people up. But when people are sympathetic to Putin and Russia, I don't understand people at all anymore. Rhonda. I agree with you. I don't know how somebody can be undecided. I mean, either you're fucking stupid and you vote for Donald Trump, or you're a reasonable person and have some compassion and you vote for Joe Biden. I always keep hearing, well, nobody likes either candidate. Well, too fucking bad. You know what? In life, sometimes you don't get the best choices. Or the choices that you prefer, but you make the best choice given the circumstances. It's simple. Don't be a whiny little bitch or a baby and say, well, I just don't like this. If you don't like it, pick the best choice for you. And to suggest that Donald Trump is a good choice is absolutely ridiculous. I keep hearing about them crowing about Donald Trump's economy. If I remember correctly, when he left office, the economy had pretty much crashed. Now, a lot of people will say, well, that's because of COVID, not Donald Trump's fault. Absolutely is Donald Trump's fault because he mishandled COVID. He was negligent with COVID. He tried to tell people it would go away. So by doing nothing about COVID, he is fully responsible for the outcome. 1 million people died of COVID and the economy crashed. If you go back 4 years and you think that was better, well, fuck yourself. The economy is far better right now. We've got unemployment at 50-year lows. We've got rising wages, rising manufacturing. The GDP is growing every quarter. The stock market is breaking records. How is that not a great economy? That's one, several of the data points that prove it's a great economy. And then they will say, well, it's inflation or the high price of gas. Well, you need to take notice because the fact of the matter is that inflation is going down. Gas prices are going down. And it's not Joe Biden's fault that either of these was high. Again, it was part and parcel to what happened with COVID. That's where Donald Trump fucked up. These people were in a position to raise their prices. And when COVID went away, they said, hey, we like these high prices. Let's just stick with them. So between Donald Trump and corporate greed, that's why you're paying high prices. And Joe Biden is doing whatever he can to bring them down. Unfortunately, the Republicans are sitting there and they're obstructing the efforts to do that. That's why we need to kick out the Republicans and get power for the Democrats in the House and the Senate and, of course, the Oval Office. All right, the big news yesterday, O.J. Simpson died. Died from prostate cancer, I think. He was 76 years old. I wasn't really sure how to process this. I told a story on TikTok. I'll tell it here. Now, when I was in my late teens and the late 70s, I had an interesting job. I was a stringer, and I was dealing with sports primarily. Now, what a stringer does is goes out to press conferences and sporting events and such, does interviews, and then sold those interviews to other media outlets who couldn't send somebody out there or couldn't afford to send somebody out there. I went there out there on my own, gathered some interviews, and saw what kind of money I could make by getting it to the media outlets. Now, this was a great job. I'm in Minneapolis. We have the Twins, the Vikings. We had the Kicks back then. I met a lot of interesting people. I think I told a story about meeting Billy Martin once. I met Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, Pele, Giorgio Canaglia, Wayne Gretzky, all those people. When they would come to town, I had the opportunity to meet them and interview. It was great fun. Well, at one point, this was after O.J. Simpson retired from football. He was doing movies and TV and a lot of commercials like Hertz Rent-A-Car. And he was coming to town to do a promotion for an orange juice brand. Yeah, go figure. So he came and did the press conference. Now, I didn't give two fucks about the orange juice brand, but I definitely wanted to see O.J. Simpson because at that time, O.J. Simpson was probably the greatest football player the NFL had ever seen. He was truly amazing. He had a 2,000-yard season in the fucking 70s, for God's sake. So I went out to this press conference. Now, this press conference was pretty dull, but I'm kind of a bold guy. And after the press conference, I walked up to O.J. Simpson. I said, "Mr. Simpson, do you mind if I ask you a few questions?" Very cordial. He said, "Sure, sit down and let's talk." And we did for about 15 minutes. And, you know, we talked about general stuff, football stuff and that kind of thing, maybe some of the movies. But I have to say that when I talked to him, he was an absolutely wonderful guy. He was cordial, engaging, charismatic. He was very nice. And when I walked away from that interview, I thought, you know, OJ's a great guy. Then about 15, 16 years later, we have white Bronco and murder shit going on with O.J. Simpson. And immediately when I heard about this, I said, there's no way he did this. He's just not that kind of guy. But as we got deeper into it more and more, we're finding out there's some evidence that shows he could have done it. And when you think about it, who else would have done it? I don't know. They tried to put the blame on other areas, but none of it really stuck. So I started thinking, yeah, this motherfucker's guilty. It's weird, but how is that possible? He seemed like such a great guy. Then I started thinking about him. I thought about O.J. Simpson. Probably from a very young age, he was pampered, entitled, treated like a king because of his great talent. And it's conceivable this guy became a bit of a narcissist. Now, I've had some experience with narcissists, and of course, we're dealing with one right now in Donald Trump. And the thing about narcissists, they're very charismatic, and from a distance, they look absolutely wonderful. But you never see them being in a real good condition with their family, and they don't ever have close friends, because when you get close to a narcissist, the cracks emerge and you see who they truly are. These people are ultimately incredibly insecure. All this bluster and bullshit is just a cover up for that. And as I've said with Donald Trump and what I've experienced in previous situations with narcissists, the worst thing you can do is embarrass them. And then when you embarrass them, this hits them hard. They're like a Jekyll and a Hyde. One moment they're the greatest people in the world. The next moment they are vicious and vindictive, like Donald Trump. And I could see what might have happened here. What might have happened was he maybe had a couple of drinks, because that's usually what narcissists use to get set off. That gives them a little confidence and causes them to react crazily. He's getting divorced, maybe saw his wife or thought his wife was dating somebody else, and he got freaked the fuck out. And he went over and did it. If not him, who? In fact, I saw something yesterday about a witness that never was allowed to testify, but this witness said they saw him in his white Bronco tearing through the very area in Brentwood, right around the time of the murder. But she wasn't allowed to testify. And you know why? Because when she was initially interviewed, she went off and then sold her story to a magazine. And because of that, that disqualified her from testifying. Can you imagine how much of a difference that would have made had she been able to testify? The thing that I found that was so interesting is when I posted that on TikTok, 99% of the people agreed with me. Yeah, he did it. Cato Kaelin thinks he did it. Half of his friends think he did it. He fucking did it. But there were some people that pushed back and were mad at me because I said he did it. Well, he wasn't convicted. He didn't do it. There's no evidence. Well, there was a ton of evidence, but it was handled badly and they couldn't use the evidence. He wasn't convicted. I'll give you that. But how many times wasn't John Gotti convicted until the last time? And that motherfucker was guilty as hell of everything he was ever charged with. The thing about that murder and that whole case, it wasn't much about murder as it was about race. It was really divided. You saw the white people hoping against hope that he would be convicted and then be disappointed when he wasn't. And then there was video of people of color that were cheering when he was found not guilty. Was it because they thought he wasn't guilty? No, I don't think it was that. I think they knew better. Most of them did. But they had a reasonable reason to be happy that O.J. Simpson got off of this case. Because in Los Angeles, you had these corrupt police officers, and they were constantly running roughshod on black citizens in L.A. And the white people always got off. So regardless of whether O.J. Simpson was guilty or not, they were excited finally once that a person of color got treated like white people. I get that. I get that completely. But you got to be careful. Because if you're not careful, you end up being like a Trump-la-fuck. And what I mean by that is that you have your guy, and no matter what he does, no matter what he says, no matter how guilty he is, you'll overlook it because he's your guy. That's what's happened with Donald Trump. And to be perfectly honest with you, since that trial, O.J. Simpson kind of revealed who he was. We know there were some videos and audios of him being abusive toward Nicole Brown Simpson, and that's part and parcel of a standard personality trait of a narcissist. I live with a father who's a narcissist. I saw it all the time. I know what they do. Once they're put in a corner or questioned, they start to lose their shit, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's what happened with O.J. Simpson. So anyway, that happened, and everybody's talking about it. The announcement came out on April 10th. Our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. A post on X, formerly Twitter, stated he was surrounded by his children and grandchildren during this time of transition. His family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. Now, like I say, when he was young and prior to the murder, he was an absolute superstar, at least in the eyes of a lot of people. There wasn't anybody better than him in the NFL at that point. He was good in his movies, The Naked Gun 1, 2, and 3, and some other stuff. He was on Monday Night Football. He was an announcer. He was in Hertz Rent-A-Car commercials, all kinds of commercials. And the guy was just winning all the way. But as I've told you many times, it happened with my father, it happened with other narcissists, it's going to happen with Donald Trump, and it happened to O.J. Simpson. A narcissist starts out strong. People are impressed by the charisma and the abilities and the talents, and then they start flying high for quite a while. They're very successful. But then they hit some bumps. People start questioning them, and that's what they fucking hate. Then they start getting embarrassed, and now they go into a spiral. They go into a spiral, and it's always the same with every narcissist. They always end up the same way. they always crash and burn. My father did it, O.J. Simpson did it, and Donald Trump will do it as well. It always ends the same way with a narcissist. They win big for a while, but they always crash and burn. They do it to themselves, and that's what Donald Trump is doing right now. He's destroying himself. So my best wishes to the family of O.J. Simpson and the fans of O.J. Simpson. I met him. I thought he was a great guy. But I can't stand behind what I think he did on that night. You may disagree with me, but that's okay. Doesn't matter if you disagree with me. I tried to point out to some of these people, it's all a moot point. This crime happened 30 years ago. O.J. Simpson is dead. There's nothing to argue about anymore. History goes on. This is left back for historical reading some point later, but there's no point in debating it at this point. We don't know. We will never know. And we've got to worry about those things happening today. All right. We are going to take a quick break and we will be right back. On every show, I tell you that if you have questions, comments, or complaints, just reach out to me at rationalboomer@gmail.com. Those emails come directly to me, and your input is crucial to this show. The show is called Rational Boomer Podcast, but that's not to suggest that I'm the Rational Boomer. I am not. I am simply a Rational Boomer. All of you are Rational Boomers. Anybody of a like mind is a Rational Boomer. Strength comes in numbers and not through an individual. You have perceptions and insights that may have never occurred to me. This isn't a show about me. This is a show about us and gaining a voice in this country. There's 70 million baby boomers in this country. Yeah, I know the younger folks would prefer to push us aside. Every generation has done that. But we are a formidable force if we can get together and speak in one voice. This is why I encourage you to let your friends and family know about the Rational Boomer Podcast, not to satisfy my ego, but to give us more power, a stronger voice, to help right this ship we call the United States of America. Lastly, I'm offering the opportunity for my listeners to be on the show. Now, it could be 2 minutes, it could be a half hour, it could be the whole fucking show. I'd much rather have you on the show than somebody pimping a podcast or a book. I want to hear what you think. I want to know what you know. The Rational Boomer Podcast is all about us.
Well, we're literally 3 days away from Donald Trump's criminal trial in the Manhattan District, and we know there's a gag order hanging over Donald Trump's head. He's tried to get out of it, claim it's unconstitutional, claim he has a First Amendment right, but it's still holding tight. And what you need to understand is that gag ruling stands pat even during the trial, because we know what Donald Trump's capable of doing, not only in court, but standing on the steps at breaks and at the ends of the day's events. That gag order still is in effect even then. We talked about Donald Trump and how long it would take for him to violate the gag order. Looks like he may have done that just yesterday. Now, days after a New York judge expanded a gag order on Donald Trump to curtail inflammatory speech, Donald Trump tested its limits by disparaging two key witnesses in his upcoming criminal hush money trial as liars. That's directly in violation of the gag order. He's not supposed to be talking about witnesses. Now, in his post on Truth Social's platform Wednesday, Trump called his former lawyer Michael Cohen and adult film actor Stormy Daniels two sleazebags who have, with their lies and misrepresentations, cost our country dearly. Well, Michael Cohen did go to jail for lying and tax evasion and that sort of thing, but he did it in the service of Donald Trump. He did it to help Donald Trump. So it's a little weird for them to try to put him down for these crimes when he was doing it for Donald Trump himself. And Stormy Daniels, well, you can talk shit all you want, but you paid her $130,000 to keep her mouth shut. This whole trial isn't really about giving Stormy Daniels money.
It's more about trying to cover it up and hide it from election campaign authorities and committing fraud. That's what this is really about. Now, in an order first made in March and then revised on April 1, Judge Juan Marchand barred Trump from making public statements about probable trial witnesses concerning their potential participation in the investigation or in this criminal proceeding, which he proceeded to violate yesterday. Marchand's order didn't give specific examples of what types of statements about witnesses were banned. He noted that the order was not intended to prevent the former president from responding to political attacks. Now, the gag order also barred Trump from making public statements of any type about jurors, court staff, lawyers in the case, or relatives of prosecutors or of the judge. Trump is allowed to make critical comments about the judge himself and Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Now, it's unclear whether the judge might consider Trump's criticism of Cohen and Daniels as a violation of the gag order. I would say if it's not a violation, it's goddamn close. Both are expected to testify in the trial, which involves allegations that Trump falsified business records at his company to disguise the true nature of payments made to Cohen to reimburse him for a $130,000 payoff made to Daniels. The payment, Cohen says, was intended to keep Daniels from talking publicly about an alleged sexual encounter with Trump that the Republican says never happened. Donald Trump says that kind of thing a lot. Now, Gregory Germain, a professor at Syracuse University College of Law, described the latest post as a close call, unlikely to result in Trump being held in contempt. I suspect he'd argue that he criticized their general character and was not commenting on their potential participation in the investigation or proceeding, Germain said. But Stephen Gillers, a professor at New York University Law School, said Trump's comment brands the two witnesses as liars, which goes to the heart of what the order forbids. That's exactly what a gag order doesn't want you to do before trial when a potential jury could be influenced. Yeah, I buy that one more. If you're calling people out and trying to influence a jury, that is the heart of why there is a gag order. Trump and his attorneys have said the gag order violates his free speech rights and prevents him from responding to public attacks as he runs for president. Well, that's not true. And several courts and several judges has said as much. And is Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels attacking him? I can't say that I've heard that. They'll have their shot in court when they testify. Now, Daniels has spoken out about harassment she's received from the former president's supporters, who she said were encouraged and commended by Trump. In a text message Thursday, Cohen said the attacks were meant to prejudice the jury's opinion of him. Well, of course it was. Absolutely was. Now the question is what is Judge Juan Marchand going to do about it? Is there anything they can do? We're coming up on the trial here, and no doubt when the trial starts, Donald Trump will do some crazy shit, say some crazy shit, and he will violate the gag rule. Again, the question is, what will Judge Juan Marchand do? We expect him to be a little tougher than some of the other judges we've seen because this is a criminal trial. Influencing the jury or threatening the jury is a real big problem and something Juan Marchand isn't probably going to allow. But again, it's still a matter of what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. It's going to be interesting to see. We might, if he's going to do something, it would probably be today if he determines that what Donald Trump said is a violation. But we haven't seen much action when it comes to gag orders and Donald Trump being held accountable. So we'll see if he is in this particular situation. Bottom line is he's going to trial. The trial should be 2 months at the most, maybe 6 weeks. And he will be convicted of numerous felonies after that case is done. And then Donald Trump is in trouble for for all intents and purposes, his political career, his personal career, and his business career are fucking done. And back when I wasn't sure whether or not he'd go to jail, that was going to be enough for me. I want to see him broke, embarrassed, and shamed. And that would be enough for a narcissist to be absolutely destroyed. But now, after seeing what we've seen, it's going to be hard not to put him in jail for the amount of crimes he's done, the recidivism, as they've talked about. So I think he will do some time in the pokey, as it were. All right, days before Donald Trump is expected to go on trial for falsifying business records, and that's really the core of that case, not so much Stormy Daniels. He also tried to conceal hush money payments. One legal expert thinks the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg seems to be firing a warning shot to Trump allies who are tempted to lie under oath. I hadn't considered this, but these people make a good point. While appearing on MSNBC's Alex Wagner Tonight, legal analyst Jeremy Saland argued that former Trump CFO Alan Weisselberg's new 5-month prison sentence for perjuring himself should give incentives to other Trump witnesses to tell the truth on the witness stand in the coming weeks. Never thought about that by him getting Alan Weisselberg to plead guilty and him sending him off to Rikers for 5 months. That might be a red flag to people thinking, well, I could lie for Donnie, or I could end up like Alan Weisselberg. Maybe that will be a deterrent for them. We'll see what happens. He goes on to say, I see it not as a chilling effect that will adversely impact these witnesses to say we shouldn't testify, he said, but it will be more in terms of a reality check. That if you make believe and if you tell that story that isn't true and you misrepresent, we as prosecutors will do our homework and hold you accountable. And that's what happened to Alan Weisselberg. I think some journalist had some information that pointed out that Alan Weisselberg was lying, handed it over to Alvin Bragg. Next thing you know, Alan Weisselberg is back in jail. Now, Weisselberg pleaded guilty in March to 2 felony counts of perjury after acknowledging he offered false testimony involving the size of former President Donald Trump's triplex apartment inside Trump Tower. You remember Trump and Weisselberg would say, oh, it's 30,000 feet in order to get a better deal with insurance or with loans, when in fact the place was about 10,000 square feet. Whoopsie, made a mistake, inflated it by 300%. Yeah, that doesn't go over very well. Now, Saland said that seeing Weisselberg get more jail time could erase any temptation other witnesses may feel to not fully be forthcoming during testimony. Otherwise, that exposure could be huge, and they don't want to become a storyline, he added. This is Donald Trump's storyline, not theirs. And I think he makes a good point. Put somebody in jail just before the case, going to make you think twice about lying on the stand, because there is retribution for that. You will be held accountable for it. And now they know for sure what's going to happen. You may only get 4 or 5 months, but 4 or 5 months in Rikers Island, that's not fucking pleasant. Just ask Alan Weisselberg. Now, Donald Trump gave a furious speech about his legal problems in New York, in which he seemed to be confused on many issues. Donald Trump is always confused. He was calling New York Attorney General Letitia James, Letitia Jones, and mixing her up with Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who is prosecuting his hush money case next week, while claiming President Joe Biden had something to do with all of it. These are state cases. Joe Biden doesn't have any influence. Federal government doesn't have any influence over it. Now, the quote goes, they put him into the state of New York and then into the DA's office to run the case, said Trump. This is being run by Biden. They put a man into the state, Letitia Jones, peekaboo, I call her, peekaboo Jones. They put a man into that one too, Letitia. They put a man into that one to run it, and he went into the DA's office. See what I mean? It's just weird and wacko. Commentators on social media had a field day with his rant. Lincoln Project had some comments, as they do. It's bad. His mental decline is getting worse by the day. That was posted by the Lincoln Project. Wow, just saw a video of Trump from a few hours ago, wrote the account, The Shallow State. His right hand was gesticulating, his left arm clutched the podium, his energy was off, and he glitched several times without catching and correcting his gaffes. It was a veritable showcase of the three Ds, desperation, delusion, and dementia. Here's another one. Trump appears to be broken, wrote the longtime resistance account Angry Staffer on X. Has anyone tried turning him off and back on again? And Jay Meanie Pants said, he mostly speaks word salad, but even his word salad is struggling lately. And Larry Mason Biz said on Twitter or X, can anyone translate this into English? I'm not that good with gibberish. And the fact is, this is how Donald Trump talks now. This is how he communicates. If you go look at some video from back in the 90s, he could be fairly articulate, but he's nowhere near that now. Something has happened. He's diminishing somehow. It may be a combination of diminishing cognitive abilities with just being scared out of his mind, because make no mistake, Donald Trump is fucking terrified at this point. And he should. I mean, just think about it. He's going into a criminal trial on Monday. He's going to be found convicted. He's going to be found guilty and be convicted, because this is a pretty easy case. It's a documents case, and it's going to be hard to divert and distract from that. Then on top of that, he's got a bond that isn't going to fly, and Letitia James is likely to head out there and start seizing property and selling it. His cash cow of Truth Social's IPO is tanking. It's now down around $32, and it started out at $70. That stock and Donald Trump himself has literally lost billions in a matter of 2 weeks. What's going to happen in the next 2 weeks? This guy's got so many problems, he's got to be devastated emotionally and intellectually, and that's got to be adding to his inability to be articulate when he's talking. Now, this one I find interesting. It has to do with the state of Georgia, and I happen to be going to Georgia on Monday, just for a few days, not a long time, Monday to Thursday. But Georgia Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones is finally facing an investigation into his role as a fake elector for former President Donald Trump in 2020. Yeah, the lieutenant governor was a fake elector. The fake elector scheme in which several Trump partisans signed paperwork falsely declaring themselves their state's legitimate electors. And he's lieutenant governor. This is a major piece of Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis's sprawling racketeering case against Trump and his allies. However, Willis was disqualified from investigating Jones's role in the scheme because she hosted a fundraiser for his political rival. That doesn't mean he wasn't still investigated. It just means that Fonnie Willis couldn't do it. Now, the New York Times is reporting that Peter Skandalakis, the executive director of the Prosecuting Attorneys Council of Georgia and former Republican district attorney, is taking up the potential case against Jones. Now, while Jones is under investigation, it is no sure thing that he will face criminal charges. In her own racketeering case, Willis only brought charges against three of the fake Georgia electors while agreeing to plea deals with all the others. Jones, however, appears to be a major participant in the plot to block the certification in 2020. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported that Mr. Jones flew to Washington on January 5th, 2021 to try to persuade Vice President Mike Pence to delay certification of the Electoral College votes, although Mr. Jones told the news outlet that he ultimately did not raise the matter with Mr. Pence. Let's see if Mr. Pence testifies, because while he may not be included in this Georgia case, he could be very well included in Jack Smith's case in Washington, D.C., and we may be hearing about an indictment for him sometime after the election. Now, fake electors in other states, including Michigan and Nevada, have been hit with criminal charges, while fake electors in Wisconsin settled a lawsuit in which they were forced to acknowledge that President Joe Biden legitimately won the 2020 election. Trump has continued to falsely insist the election was stolen, even as his allies have repeatedly failed to come up with evidence to back up the claims. Yep, Donald Trump will never let that go. He's like a dog with a fucking bone, and he will continue to rant about this until he can no longer speak. We'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that's soon. I love this story. It's a stupid story, but it has to do with Trumplafucks and how stupid they are. A Newsmax host recalling President Joe Biden's gaffes and memory lapses had a momentary lapse himself on Thursday. Wait till you hear this. Robert Finnerty was interviewing Representative James Comer, who's a bit of a dipshit in his own right, about the latter's investigation into the Biden family when he cited former special counsel Robert Hur's report on the president. Hur was appointed to probe president's retention of government documents after leaving the Senate and the vice presidency. Now, ultimately, Hur declined to charge Biden, as we know, in part because the jury would see the president as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Still, we have some question as to why that was included in the report, and it wasn't for reasonable reasons. It was a partisan reason why he did that, and why Merrick Garland allowed that to occur, I still don't know, and I'm still very angry with Merrick Garland about that. Now, Republicans have called on the Department of Justice to release audio of Hur's interview with Biden, but Attorney General Merrick Garland has so far refused. Robert Hur, in his report, said that he didn't recommend charges for Biden because a jury wouldn't rule against Joe Biden because he's, quote, a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Finnerty said he gave us examples. He said that Biden didn't know that Africa was a country. He couldn't remember the year his son died. He didn't know the last names of staff members. He forgot when he was vice president. All very embarrassing stuff. That first one I found interesting. He didn't know that Africa was a country. That's what this reporter was saying. Joe Biden didn't know Africa was a country. Well, that's funny because Africa is not a country. Africa is a continent made up of a bunch of countries. Nice job, motherfucker. How stupid can you be? You're a young man, supposedly of a reasonable mind, and you make these kinds of mistakes. I wouldn't even call somebody out on this if it weren't for them calling out Joe Biden for something that isn't even wrong, something he didn't even say. The Hur report mentions Africa once, but not in the aforementioned context. How are you going to get those tapes, Finnerty asked Comer. Well, he's not going to get the tapes. As long as Merrick Garland says you can't have them, you can't fucking have them. And the fact of the matter is Merrick Garland's probably trying to cover his ass. He should have never let the report go out the way it did. And Joe Biden's probably already pissed off at Merrick Garland. Like I said, I'm hoping against hope that Joe Biden, after he wins the election, he goes into Merrick Garland's office and said, your services are no longer necessary. We're going to get somebody who knows how to do the job, is fairly assertive, and isn't afraid of public opinion. Now, a former aide to Melania Trump said, Former President Donald Trump's looming trial in the Stormy Daniels hush money case could be causing some stress in their marriage. Oh, you think that's it? You think that's the one thing that's causing stress in their marriage? Well, I can understand why Melania would be stressed out about this. You remember, you go back to the Clintons. Bill Clinton was caught with the intern in the White House. And Hillary Clinton stood by her man, and she got just beat up by the Republicans for doing that. And here's Melania Trump doing the very same thing. Now, Stephanie Grisham said, and she was communications director for a time for Melania Trump, she said, "I spent a ton of time with her when the news was breaking about Stormy Daniels, and she didn't take it lightly at all. Daniels claimed to have had an affair with Trump from 2006 to 2007 while Melania Trump was caring for the couple's then infant child." Grisham said separate allegations of an affair with playmate Karen McDougal also led to tensions in the White House. "We went to the State of the Union separately. She refused to walk out to Marine One with him because she didn't want to be like Hillary Clinton and standing by her man," said Grisham, who was chief of staff to the then First Lady before becoming White House press secretary under Donald Trump. "She's very independent and a strong woman, so strong that she had to marry Donald Trump even though she knew what she was getting into." She said she believed Melania Trump would push her husband to go to the witness stand during the hush money trial, which is set to begin next week, to defend himself in public. "This is very, very embarrassing for her. It's humiliating for her," she said, "and I can guarantee you that she's not happy right now, and that he's quite worried about that." Yeah, he probably is. And it's interesting, all these attempts to get this case delayed, maybe at the behest of Melania Trump. She doesn't want to be any more embarrassed by her husband than she's already been. And let's be honest. Think about this for the ladies. If you were married to Donald Trump, is that one instance? Is that the only instance that's going to embarrass you about being with Donald Trump? Donald Trump does and says things that are horrible every fucking day. Why are you still there? Now, the former First Lady has made a few public appearances since leaving the White House and only occasionally posts messages or sales pitches for NFTs and other items on social media. However, the former president has claimed she will hit the campaign trail soon. "She's going to be out a lot," he said, in February, and so far it hasn't happened. She ain't going out, especially when this shit starts to hit. When this trial starts, one of the biggest problems for Donald Trump in this trial is there'll be a lot of sensitive stuff revealed, and it will be highly personal and highly embarrassing to Donald Trump. And as I've told you before, with narcissists, that is the most devastating thing you can do to a narcissist, embarrass them. So this should be fun. Down in Arizona, this is an interesting one, too. Carrie Lake, who's running for the Senate against Democrat Ruben Gallegos, she flipped again on her stance for women's reproductive freedom Thursday, easing off her hardline pro-choice stance and saying she wants to make sure every woman who finds herself pregnant has more choices. Now, you remember, she had been talking about a national abortion ban. Pretty draconian shit she was talking about. But now she's backing off. Wonder why? Well, she's seeing what it's doing to the state of Arizona and how it's going to be devastating to the Republicans. She is desperate to win a fucking election. She hasn't had much luck lately, and she doesn't have much to go to. She's being sued. She's going to be broke. She needs some kind of big-time job to save her ass, and unfortunately, Carrie Lake is not going to get that. Now, after teasing a release of her position late Wednesday, she dropped a more than 5-minute video where she uses the words choice and choices twice within the first 28 seconds of the video. This is interesting. We know one thing about Donald Trump and Republicans. They constantly lie. They will tell you anything to get your vote, And then when you vote for them, they'll do just the opposite. Hopefully people are smart enough to grasp that. Now, Lake, who in May of 2022 announced that a child's gender is determined by God at conception, later that year cheered on the 1864 law that almost totally bans abortion in the state of Arizona. I bet she's changed her mind on that after seeing the pushback with that fucking ridiculous, archaic law. You know, it's funny. When that law was announced, Donald Trump said, oh, yeah, I don't like that. They'll get that thing fixed. Well, the Democrats did try to get that law repealed, but guess what? The Republicans blocked it. So that law still is in effect. Sean Hannity was nervous about this whole thing and said, Democrats, you got to do something about this, which is weird because he's against abortion. He doesn't like abortion, but he doesn't like this deal. And it's simply because he understands how devastating it is in the campaign when this happened. Donald Trump keeps saying, let's give it back to the states. Well, motherfucker, that's what you did to Arizona, and that's what they did. You want to give it back to the states, yet you tell us what Arizona did wasn't right. Something's wrong here. These people are just flailing around. They are going to have the overturning of Roe v. Wade and these draconian abortion laws strapped to their backs, and they're not going to get away from it. And just now, they're starting to realize it. They should have realized this in 2022 when they got their ass kicked and there was no red wave. But they just continued to embrace it, double down, triple down, like they were going to be able to shove it down people's throats and make them believe what they allegedly believe. Didn't work. In fact, it's working the opposite way. And just now they're starting to realize, holy fuck, we're going to lose this thing because of abortion. Yeah, you are. I've said before, this is the single biggest issue coming up in the election in 2024. They should have recognized this 2-3 years ago, prior to overturning Roe v. Wade. And once they did overturn Roe v. Wade, they should have said, you know, maybe we ought to back off this. But they didn't. They didn't do that. So they fucked around. You know how they say fucked around and find out? In this particular instance, they fucked around and they're still fucking clueless. Because they tried to repeal it and the Republican legislature blocked it again, even though everybody's running around like their hair's on fire because this is a loser. They can't admit they're wrong. They have to double down because they can't admit they're wrong, which is good news for Democrats. Let them hold on to overturning Roe v. Wade and abortion bans because that will be the one thing that costs them tons and tons of elections. Arizona is an important state to the presidential election. And now that Donald Trump has done what he's done and what's happened in Arizona, you can bet there are all Democrats and probably a fair amount of Republicans too that are saying, I don't care if I'm Republican or Democrat. We just cannot have this. This is unsafe for the women of our state. We've got to stop this. And the only way to stop it is to elect Joe Biden. So you may see Arizona take a trend to the left with this particular situation. It's not going to go well for Donald Trump. Carrie Lake is got an anchor around her neck. She doesn't have a fucking prayer. Ruben Gallegos will win that seat. So we'll see what happens, but it does not look good. I don't know how anybody can think Republicans can win as long as they embrace overturning Roe v. Wade. Like I say, that's the big issue. That's the one that sinks it for the Republican Party. All right, we are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.